This morning's gospel begins in Mark just after the transfiguration of Christ on the mountaintop. We hear Peter, James, and John, along with Jesus, have gone up there to pray. And we get the vision of Jesus speaking to Moses and Elijah. And it ends with God's proclamation and admonition. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. So on returning to the rest of the disciples, these four see the crowd. And the crowd sees Jesus, and in quick order, the situation is explained to Jesus. But listen carefully to what transpires. The boy has an evil spirit. Check. The dad brings him to the disciples to be cured. Check. He hands over his son to the disciples for their healing arts and waits to see if there's any results. No check. This is the glitch. It takes the father's prayers and belief, along with the prayers and belief of the disciples, to effect the healing. It takes faith that God has, that the God of the universe will act for the good of his people. So Jesus' response, when they come running up to him and telling him this, is pretty important. He says, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Hear the voice of holy despair, godly sorrow over the state of unbelief, the faithless people, even Jesus' own disciples failed here. They failed in this situation. Satan is at war against all of us. He's our enemy. He wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our relationships. He wants to destroy the work of the Lord in our lives, in our church, and in our community. We stumble about under his own attack. Instead of misled by gossip and misunderstanding and ineffectiveness, we are easy prey. We also, like these disciples, as we confront our spiritual enemies, will fail. These people in the bondage of demonic power are an example of Satan's intent. Jesus asked the Father, how long has this happened to him? And the Father said, from childhood. And often he's been thrown both into fire and into water to destroy him. From childhood, to destroy him. And then he goes on, but if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. There is an insight into the malignant nature of Satan and his demons. What they cannot control, they seek to destroy. And even what they can control, they eventually will destroy. In fact, they will destroy whatever they possibly can. You cannot trust him or his servants. He's a liar. And as we hear in Revelation, he's the father of all lies. Any agreement that the people make with him, he will break. He's not to be trusted, and his people are not to be trusted. First, what we get from Scripture here is the powerlessness of unbelief. Unbelief has no power. Jesus' disciples had failed. He had called them and had trained them, and here they cannot exercise their authority over the evil spirits of power and demonic because they failed to believe. Jesus' words are fitting words for us today. Many people are comfortable in their unbelief. They're even bold sometimes in their denial of the obvious spiritual truths. Jesus comes to comfort us, even in our own unbelief. We have to have a spiritual power if there's going to be any victory at all. This unbelief, this non-belief, is not pleasing to God. Neither can it succeed against Satan, and Satan is pleased when we do not believe. We do not believe God. We do not believe his holy scriptures. We do not believe he exists or that he cares for us. In that sense, we cannot exercise any authority in the spiritual realm. Second, and here is a very clear power of faith. The Father said to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion. Can you imagine a person saying to God, if you can? Just think about the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven as in earth as in heaven, if you can. Who are you talking to, and more importantly, why? Okay? If you can. And that's what's going on, if you can. Surely God can do anything he needs to do, that he wants to do. God is not bound by the finite or any power at all. He can do anything because he made everything out of nothing. And by gosh, if he can do that, he can do anything. He's not bound by our rules. It's not a question of whether God can do this or do that. Jesus clearly states this back to the man, and he says, if you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, just so you're clear that this has nothing to do with the current advertising market on radio and television, it's not just a matter of belief. You know, I can believe that the Bay Bridge will be there tomorrow. I can believe that the stock market is going to continue to climb to unreasonable heights. I can believe I can walk on water. And we all know that one of those three ain't going to happen. But I can believe it. And that's not the issue. It's not the issue. The old saying of, you know, you can believe whatever you want to as long as you're sincere. No. I actually had that come to me in a Bible study up in Nevada City, probably the third year of ordination, from an attorney who's very well known. And I said, well then, sir, you can sincerely go to hell. And we laugh at that, and I felt terrible, and I apologized later. But the thing is, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's where you're going. Period. And so it matters what you believe and how you believe. So the man says, if you can do anything. The issue is not whether I can do it or not, but the real issue is you, Dad, is you. Will you believe? Do you believe? And I ask you, do you believe in God and in Jesus Christ? If we truly believe in God and in Jesus, and we believe this book, the Bible, we will commit ourselves to living for the Lord Jesus and living in the power of his Spirit. That immediate response of this man to Jesus is a statement of faith that we all should remember. Lord, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. Start there. Start with, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. And that comes in a variety of ways. Help me to lay aside those things that I can't answer, that I don't need to answer. Help me be involved in those things that I need to find the truth in your word. Show me in your word where it's the truth. On the great debate of how many angels dance on the head of a pin, let it go. Because it doesn't matter. Lord, help me in my unbelief. Is the both and. Both give me the insight to strengthen my faith and take far from me those trivial issues that need not bother my bandwidth. Let it go. So he says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And this father now being totally honest, he's one of the most transparent people in God's word, and he recognizes that his faith, and yet also his weakness, pleads for help, for real faith. My brothers and sisters, when that happens to you, listen to what this guy does. Start with faith, and then ask for help in those areas of unbelief. Do you do that? Will you do that? This is the encouragement for all of us. We do not need to think that we are hypocrites because our faith is not perfect. It's not, and we don't have to be. The devil works in us on this very issue. Have you ever noticed that when you start thinking about something that, you know, I don't know, that you can't think of anything else? I don't know. I'm not sure. Man, the spotlight's right on it, you know? The microphone's right. I don't know. Doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. And then you get out your scientific set, you know, the chemistry set you got in high school, and you start adding things back and forth. Or you start looking things up. Wikipedia is not your friend. Neither is Siri. Whoever that is not your friend. But the issue is, who has the truth? God does. Who is truth? Jesus. Where do you go to find him? Scripture and in prayer. So don't think you're a hypocrite because you don't have all the answers. That's where the devil does his work. He'll keep us in discouragement and defeat, beating ourselves and accusing one another. And there's two questions that we need to ask. Do I believe God can do anything? We can ask this question another way. Do I believe in the God that's described in the Bible? If the answer is yes, you're halfway home. If it's maybe, what's the other part of that? Help me in my unbelief. Help me in my unbelief. Second question, do I believe that God will do what he's promised? That the Father believed in Jesus and in his power? Jesus responded to this faith of this Father and dealt with the situation and healed his son. When Jesus saw the people coming together, he says, he rebuked the unclean spirit. You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. And he became as if he were dead. Here's an example of the extreme that Satan will go to. Satan and his evil servants have a determination to destroy, and what they cannot possess or control, they seek to destroy immediately, and then Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. The young man became normal. The demons lost control over him. He was freed from their power. This is what Jesus does to respond to faith, even a little faith. This is what he does. He frees, he liberates. And this same account is held in Luke. And in Luke, Luke adds the words, and he gave him back, and Jesus gave him back to his father. And they're all amazed at the greatness of God. This power comes to the people of God when there is faith. This is exactly what we need. The writer of Hebrews sums this up when he said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. If you're hungry and you want to go to lunch, you're driving down Shaw Avenue, and you see these yellow archy things. You may or may not want to drive in, but if you drive in, what do you expect? If you drive in, what do you expect? A burger, or what they call a burger, right? Because you believe it's there. If you drive down Shaw and you see the business that has tires up on their sign and you're hungry, do you drive in expecting lunch? No, because you don't believe that they sell burgers there. Do you understand the comparison to God? If you don't believe God is, you don't go to him in prayer. If you don't go to him in prayer, you're still left out. And if you're left out, you're going to fulfill the prophecy that you've already made because there ain't no God. You get to win. Well, actually, you get to lose. But if you like winning those little arguments in your head, you can win by saying, there is no God, I'm not going to pray. And you're out where there is no God. However, the opposite is true. I believe. In a few minutes, we're going to have the Nicene Creed. And what does it start with? Well, it's a we thing, but believe. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Holy Spirit. You start with that. And then in there, hear in your voice, help me with my unbelief. There's a relationship between this kind of faith that we have and that we do in our Christian lives. Jesus, Peter, James, and John have been up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they have seen the presence of God, and now they come back down into the valley, back down into the playground of Satan. The oppression of the demonic and the embitterment of challenges and hostilities of religious enemies. Jesus' disciples had failed to deal with this particular stubborn demon, and they asked Jesus, "Hey, boss, how come we couldn't do it? What did we get wrong? Why didn't it work for us? How could we not cast him out?" And Jesus was able to do what they could not, but what they should have been able to do after walking with Jesus and receiving his instructions. And he replies to them, and he says, this kind can only be cast out by prayer. Faith must express itself in communication with God and in a personal sacrifice to him. Prayer is linking one's life up with the eternal God and listening to him, obeying him, self-denial and surrender to him, to the work of God in our lives is that key. In this case, the father took the child, handed him over to the disciples for them to do their magic, and sat back and said, let's see. And it took Jesus to remind him, if you ain't praying, it ain't working. Pray. And he does. He confesses his belief and his, I need help with the rest. That, with the prayers of the disciples and the prayers of Jesus, make the healing possible. If we want to do anything significant for God, we're going to have to be willing to spend time with him and sacrifice some of our things for him, to be in prayer and communion with him. The disciples had not done this, and they had not taken the time to seek God about the situation. Those who do not believe will not pray, and they think it's a foolish to spend time talking with God. In fact, many of them say, yeah, you're just talking to yourself. Rabid unbelief is exposed in this particular area. The person who does not believe will not pray. The person who does not pray is living in unbelief. So here we are, and the questions are, do you believe what happened to Christ in the Transfiguration? Do you believe in Jesus and that Peter, James, and John were up on the mountainside? That this Shekinah glory was all around, the pillar of fire engulfed them, dazzling glory, and the Father's voice rang out and said, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. If you do, guess what? You got to listen to him. If you do, then you believe in a Christ who can and who will fulfill his word in your life. If you believe this, then you will find that your life will become more and more dependent on prayer. As you pray, there will come a time in your life where power, greater and greater power, will be yours, that God will pour grace upon you. Souls will be saved. Demons will flee. Lives will be made whole. Families will be strengthened and blessed. Individuals will be liberated from Satan, demonic bondage. A test to any person's faith is their prayer life, the personal disciple, if you will. We must be a people of prayer. We have the faith. We will seek the face of the Almighty God, and we will deny ourselves. We will walk in obedience and a surrender to God, and the result will be greater power in our lives, in our families, in our church, and in our community. God will show himself mighty on our behalf, and he will empower us to do his will. Amen.